Welcome to this deep dive, and today we are going to be cracking the code on strong and durable plastic parts, the kind made with injection molding, and we'll explore the fascinating science behind them through material choices, the molding process itself, and some clever mold designs. You might be surprised to learn that some plastics are engineered to be as strong as steel.
It's true.
Or that seemingly tiny tweaks in the molding process can drastically affect a part's lifespan.
When we talk about strength in plastics, we're not talking about like your average grocery bag, you know?
Yeah.
It's a whole different ballgame.
So let's talk about the building blocks, the plastics themselves. I imagine not all plastics are created equal when it comes to strength. Where do we even begin?
So you've got your workhorse plastics like polyethylene and polypropylene. Those are your go-to for everyday items, like containers and packaging, where cost-effectiveness is key. But for parts that need to withstand serious stress, you've got to step up to the engineering plastics.
Okay, what makes them so different? Give us the lowdown on these heavy-duty players.
Think polycarbonate. It's so impact-resistant that it's used in bulletproof glass.
Yeah.
Now picture that level of toughness in your phone case or car parts. That's the kind of durability we're talking about with engineering plastics.
That's a pretty powerful visual. So we're talking about phone screens surviving drops.
Absolutely.
And car bumpers withstanding impacts, right? Where does nylon fit into this? I know it's used in a lot of applications where strength is important.
Yeah, nylon's an excellent example. Think about like a thin nylon rope.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it can hold a surprising amount of weight before it snaps.
Right.
And that's because its tensile strength,
mm-hmm.
its resistance to being pulled apart, is incredibly high, even without any additional help.
So even on its own, nylon is quite impressive.
Right.
But what if you need even more strength, let's say, for parts that experience extreme conditions or heavy loads? Can we push these engineering plastics further?
Absolutely. That's where we get into the fascinating world of reinforcement. Imagine adding tiny, incredibly strong fibers to the plastic, almost like reinforcing concrete with steel rebar.
Uh-huh.
These fibers act like a network of microscopic support beams, distributing stress and preventing cracks from spreading.
So we're talking about boosting strength on a microscopic level. What kinds of materials are used for this reinforcement?
One of the most common is glass fiber. Strong, relatively affordable, and it can make a huge difference in a plastic's tensile strength. For example, nylon reinforced with glass fiber is commonly used in car parts that need to be both lightweight and incredibly strong.
So with glass fiber, we're talking about car bumpers that can take a serious hit.
Absolutely.
What about those applications that demand even more strength, the truly extreme stuff? Is there something even stronger than glass fiber?
When you absolutely need top-tier performance, you turn to carbon fiber. It's lighter than glass fiber.
Wow.
But pound for pound, it's even stronger. That's why you see it in high-performance applications like aerospace components and professional sporting equipment.
Okay, so glass fiber for everyday strength, carbon fiber for when you need to go all out. Are there any other options in between, or are those the main contenders?
You also have fillers like talc or calcium carbonate.
Yeah.
These are more about cost-effectiveness than pushing the limits of strength.
Mm-hmm.
They might not turn a regular plastic into Superman.
Right.
But they can give it a helpful boost.
So it's all about choosing the right tool for the job depending on the strength and cost requirements. This is all fascinating, but I'm curious, how does the molding process itself affect the strength of a plastic part?
Mm-hmm.
We've got our super strong plastic now. How do we mold it into the shapes we need without compromising that strength?
That's where it gets really interesting. Injection molding is the most common method.
Right.
It's like using a high-tech syringe to inject molten plastic into a precisely shaped mold. But the magic and the challenge is in controlling the process to achieve the desired strength.
So even with the best plastic, a botched molding process can result in a weak part. What are the key things that can make or break the strength during molding?
Think of it like this. You're working with a material that goes from solid to liquid and back again, and every step of that transformation affects its final properties.
So we're talking about temperature, pressure, cooling time, those sorts of things?
Precisely. Each plastic has its sweet spot for temperature and pressure. For example, polycarbonate needs to be heated to a precise range to melt properly without degrading. If you miss that range, you risk creating weak spots or even cracks in the final part.
So we need to find that perfect balance for each material. What are some real-world examples of how getting those details right or wrong can have a major impact?
There was a company that was producing a part that kept failing prematurely. They were using high-quality polycarbonate, but the parts simply weren't as durable as they should have been. It turned out that the cooling time in their molding process was slightly off. By simply adjusting the cooling time, they dramatically increased the lifespan of the part.
Wow, so just a minor tweak in the cooling time had a major impact on the final product's strength and durability. That really highlights how crucial those seemingly small details are.
What about the pressure during injection? What happens if you get that wrong?
You need enough pressure to ensure the molten plastic completely fills the mold, but too much pressure can damage the plastic structure, actually making it weaker. It's all about finding that Goldilocks zone, not too much, not too little, but just right.
Okay, so we've got our super strong plastic, we've got our perfectly tuned molding process. What's the final piece of this strength puzzle? Sounds like we've got the ingredients in the oven, but what about the baking pan?
That's where mold design comes in. And you're right, it's often overlooked. You can have the best material and the perfect process, but if the mold itself isn't designed properly, you won't get a strong part.
So we've got the plastic, we've got the molding process down pat. Now it's all about the mold itself. What makes a mold design good when it comes to creating a strong part? You've got to think about how that molten plastic is going to flow through the mold. Imagine like a river. You want it to flow smoothly and evenly without any sudden turns or obstacles that could cause turbulence if the plastic doesn't flow smoothly within the mold. You'll end up with weak spots and inconsistencies in the final part.
So we're talking about a mold that guides the plastic into every nook and cranny, ensuring it fills the mold perfectly. What are some of the design elements that help achieve that smooth flow?
It's all about carefully placed channels and features within the mold that guide the plastic where it needs to go. Think of it like a network of well-designed roads that keep traffic flowing smoothly.
So the mold is almost like a miniature city with its own infrastructure to ensure everything runs efficiently. What about the gate, that point where the molten plastic enters the mold? We talked about different gate configurations earlier. How do they affect the strength of the part?
Remember, the goal is to distribute the pressure and material flow as evenly as possible to minimize stress concentration, and the gate plays a critical role in that.
So a well-placed gate or multiple gates can help prevent those stress points that can lead to weaknesses. It's all starting to make sense now.
What are some other aspects of mold design that we might not think about, but that can have a big impact on strength?
One that often gets overlooked is the surface finish of the mold itself. You might think a rough surface would provide more grip or texture, but it's actually the opposite when it comes to strength.
Really? So smooth is better than rough when it comes to mold surfaces. Why is that?
Think about it like this. Those tiny imperfections on a rough surface can act like little cracks, concentrating stress and making the part more likely to break under pressure. A smooth surface minimizes friction and helps maintain the part's overall structural integrity.
That's counterintuitive, but it makes sense when you think about those microscopic stress points. It's amazing how much detail goes into something as seemingly simple as a mold.
Absolutely. And it all comes back to the idea that strength isn't just about the material itself. It's about the entire process from start to finish. Before we move on, I want to circle back to something we discussed earlier, the idea of reinforcing plastics with fibers to enhance their strength. Can you elaborate on how that works on a microscopic level?
Imagine you're applying force to a plain piece of plastic. The stress is concentrated in certain areas, making it prone to cracking or breaking. But when you add those reinforcing fibers, they act like tiny support beams, distributing the stress more evenly throughout the material. It's like having a network of miniature shock absorbers built right into the plastic.
So we're not just making the plastic physically thicker, we're strategically strengthening its internal structure. That's fascinating. What are some of the other benefits of reinforcement beyond just increased tensile strength?
Reinforcement can also significantly improve impact resistance, meaning the plastic can withstand those sudden shocks or drops much better. And depending on the type of reinforcement, it can even enhance the plastic's thermal stability, making it suitable for higher temperatures.
It sounds like reinforcement really opens up a world of possibilities in terms of what you can do with plastics. But I'm guessing there are some challenges to working with reinforced plastics, right? It can't all be smooth sailing.
Of course, every advantage comes with its own set of considerations. For one, cost can be a factor, especially with high-performance fibers like carbon fiber. And from a manufacturing perspective, adding reinforcement can change how the plastic flows during molding. So you might need to adjust your process parameters to get the desired result. Even the mold design itself might need some tweaks to accommodate the reinforcement and ensure it's evenly distributed throughout the part.
So it's not just a simple matter of throwing some fibers in and calling it a day. It's about finding that balance between the material, the process, and the design to create a truly strong and durable part.
Precisely. It's that integration of knowledge and expertise that leads to innovation in the world of plastics.
Speaking of innovation, we've talked about how reinforced plastics are used in everything from car parts to sporting goods. Can you give us some specific examples of how they're being used to push boundaries in different industries?
Absolutely. In the automotive world, for example, reinforced plastics are playing a key role in making cars lighter without compromising safety by using lightweight, high-strength plastics for certain components. Manufacturers can reduce a vehicle's overall weight, leading to improved fuel efficiency and reduced emissions.
So we're talking about a win-win, better for the environment and better performance on the road. What about other industries? Where else are we seeing reinforced plastics making a real difference?
Take the world of consumer electronics. Everyone wants their devices to be thinner, lighter, and more portable. But durability is still paramount. Reinforced plastics are the perfect solution, allowing manufacturers to create products that are both sleek and incredibly strong. Your phone case, for example, might be made with a reinforced plastic that can withstand drops and impacts without adding bulk.
That's a great example of how something we interact with every day benefits from this technology. It's incredible to think that something as seemingly simple as adding tiny fibers to plastic can completely transform its properties and open up a whole new world of applications.
It really highlights the power of material science and engineering. It might not always be flashy or glamorous, but it's quietly revolutionizing the products we use and rely on every single day.
It's all about the unseen details that make a huge difference in the final product. We've covered so much ground in this deep dive, from the different types of plastics to the intricacies of the molding process and the magic of reinforcement. It's clear that creating strong, durable plastic parts is a multifaceted process, with each element playing a crucial role. It really is amazing how all these pieces fit together, the material, the process, the design. It's like a finely tuned machine where every part has to work in harmony to achieve that end goal of strength and durability. Before we wrap things up, I wanted to go back to mold design for a moment. We talked about it in broad strokes, but I'm curious to dig into some more specific examples of how those design choices play out in the real world.
It's a great point because mold design is often where the rubber meets the road, so to speak. You can have the best material and a perfectly dialed-in process, but if the mold isn't up to snuff, it can all fall apart.
Exactly. So let's say we're designing a mold for something like a water bottle, something that needs to be lightweight, impact resistant, and able to hold its shape under pressure. What are some of the design considerations that would be top of mind?
First and foremost, you'd think about wall thickness. You need enough thickness to provide strength and prevent the bottle from collapsing, but you don't want to add unnecessary weight. And remember, even within a single part, the wall thickness can vary depending on the stresses it will experience.
So a water bottle might have thicker walls at the base where it's more likely to be dropped, and thinner walls near the top where it doesn't need as much reinforcement.
Exactly. It's all about optimizing the design for both strength and efficiency. You'd also think carefully about the location and shape of any ribs or supports. These are structural elements that can add strength without adding a lot of extra material.
Like the ridges you see on the underside of a plastic container, those help it resist bending or warping.
Precisely. And the placement of those ribs is crucial. They need to be strategically located where they can provide the most support, and they need to be designed in a way that doesn't interfere with the flow of plastic during molding.
It's like designing a bridge. You need to understand where the stresses are going to be and build supports accordingly.
That's a great analogy. And just like with a bridge, the connections between different parts of the mold are critical. You want to make sure there are no weak points where the plastic could crack or break under pressure.
So we're talking about smooth transitions, strong joints, everything carefully engineered to withstand the forces it will experience in the real world.
Right. And all of this is happening at a miniature scale. It's incredible to think about the level of precision and detail that goes into designing a mold that can produce millions of identical durable parts.
It really is a testament to the ingenuity and skill of the engineers and designers who work in this field. As we wrap up this deep dive, I'm struck by how much we take for granted the everyday objects around us. We see a plastic water bottle, a phone case, a car bumper, and we rarely think about the incredible science and engineering that went into making them strong, functional, and reliable.
I agree. It's easy to forget that these objects didn't just magically appear.
Yeah.
They're the result of countless hours of research, design, testing, and refinement. It's a fascinating process that combines creativity, scientific understanding, and a relentless pursuit of improvement.
And it all starts with that fundamental question: how do we make something that lasts?
Exactly. And as we have explored in this deep dive, the answer isn't always simple. It involves understanding the properties of different materials, mastering the intricacies of the molding process, and designing molds with a level of precision that borders on artistry.
Well said. So the next time you pick up a plastic object, take a moment to appreciate the journey it took to get there, from the raw materials to the finished product. It's a testament to human ingenuity and our ability to shape the world around us.
And who knows, maybe this deep dive has sparked a newfound curiosity in some of our listeners. Maybe there's a future engineer or designer out there who's now inspired to create the next generation of strong, durable, and innovative plastic products.
That would be fantastic. And on that note, we'll wrap up this deep dive. We hope you enjoyed joining us on this exploration of the fascinating world of plastic injection molding. Until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep looking for those hidden details in the world around you.